Good morning. Jim Dewey in for Mary Griffith on The Mary Griffith Show. Mary will be back Monday, but today is Wednesday, and that means it's time to talk about arts. Quincy and Jenna Seaborn is here today to talk about events coming up, and the big one is this Saturday, or the next big one, I guess, Saturday night, 7:30 to 9 at the Morrison Theater, Quincy Symphony Orchestra presenting its Myth and Mystery Concert. And we're going to have Mike Saul for another interview on Friday morning to talk more about the Franz Strauss Horn Concerto, Opus Number 8, that he will be playing. But there are a lot of other musical pieces, and again, Myth and Mystery. That sounds like a fun topic, and you can get us some tickets.
Oh, yeah. So always, kids 18 and under are free to all QSOA concerts, and so are some area college students and staff and faculty. So if you're in any of those, you might just check and see that you get tickets. But Arts Quincy, we do have our Made in America program where we provide free tickets to the symphony or the theater for area veterans and first responders. So if you're a 911 dispatcher, a police officer, sheriff's deputy, EMT, just give us a call, and we'd love to pay for the ticket, actually a pair of tickets, so that you and a guest can go see the symphony.
Very nice. And again, this one sounds like fun. We'll have Felix Mendelssohn, the Fair Melusine Overture. The legend of Melusine dates back nearly 12 centuries, so we're going back in history. A lot of fun. This is, again, Saturday night at the Morrison Theater. If people wanted to get one of those free tickets, how did they get that?
Oh, sure. For the Made in America program, you can call Arts Quincy at 222-3432. And then if you want single admission tickets, they're available at Hy-Vee or County Market and Sterhan Jewelers. Or you can get them online at QSOA.org.
All right.
And season tickets are still available, so okay. Those would be a great Christmas present while you're there.
All right, and then Quincy Civic Music, and we'll hear about more about this next week as well, but the Bella Voce and Bella Voce Sinfonia presents Handel's Messiah. That's going to be at the Junior High on Friday, November 27th.
On the 22nd.
I mispronounced.
Sure. Next Friday. And we can also provide free tickets for this as well. But this is, one of the famous pieces where they sing hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Lots of recognizable people say, oh, I didn't know that came from the Messiah.
Yeah. So the Quincy Civic Music Association is known for bringing the world to Quincy. And I'm sorry I don't have where this group is from, but it's just an incredible, famous group that, you know, if you were to see them in the city or somewhere, you'd be paying double for a ticket.
Oh, absolutely.
And these are just $25 in advance or $27 at the door.
And again, students through high school age, admitted free if you're there with your family.
Yeah, and college students as well. So, and then you can also utilize our Made in America program, too. So
all right.
You can learn more at quincycivicmusic.org, or you can just give us a call at Arts Quincy at 222-3432.
All right. One more thing to mention, because it's still going on, but time is running out to take part in the Dream Bourbon Raffle from Buffalo Trace. They have their 6 millionth barrel, and what they do is they've taken 400 bottles from this barrel and donated them to support various organizations around the world.
Yeah. They're all nonprofits, and we applied, and Arts Quincy was given one bottle, and we're raffling it off so that we can raise money to support our arts and education program. So every year this program grows, and all of the money received from this raffle will be put towards arts education throughout Adams County. So tickets are $100, and we'll do the drawing on December 5th. So if you'd like to stop by our office, we are located inside the Oakley Lindsay Center at 300 Civic Center Plaza, or you can go to our website. It's artsquincy.org, and you can purchase tickets there. So It's a great cause, and you know, it's you have a great chance of winning. There's only 100 tickets available.
Right.
So
a 1 in 100 chance of winning.
Yeah. So if you're a bourbon collector, or you're looking for a unique Christmas gift for somebody, or you just want to donate and support the arts, this is a great opportunity.
All right. So. What's your website again?
It is artsquincy.org. So we have a calendar and all kinds of things you can check out.
And Jenna Seaborn, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Talk Radio 930 WTAD. It's 923. And we'll be back to find out more about this upcoming storytelling event. 926 at WTAD. We have mostly sunny skies right now, 23 degrees. And Reverend Keila Newman from First Christian Church in Quincy, 1415 Main Street. And Reverend Newman, we want to talk about a couple of things. First, you've got a storytelling workshop Thursday night and then a storytelling event on Saturday. So let's start with the workshop, 6 to 9 on Thursday, November 14th, what's happening?
Yes, tomorrow night we have Rebecca Anderson coming in from Chicago, and she is a playwright, a stand-up comedian, and a minister, and she's also a storytelling expert who does workshops all over the country. And she's coming in with a friend of hers is going to join, who's another storyteller. They're going to show us how to bring things out of our life that connect us with other people and how to put that into words that they can hear and get involved in. So it builds community is the idea.
Okay, sure.
So on Thursday night from 6 to 9, she's going to help us find our stories and help us discover things that we didn't think would make a good story, but they do. And then on Friday, anyone who wants to continue on and learn more can meet with her for half-hour periods, set them up during the day. And then on Saturday, those who have really embrace their stories and want to share them with everyone, we're having an event at the atrium that begins at 7 o'clock, and anyone will be able to share a story there.
Free event. Anybody can come 7
the
to
whole
9
thing.
O'clock.
Yes.
And I'd imagine it may go later if you get enough people that want to talk.
Yes. Yes.
This is cool. How did you come up with an idea for this?
I heard her after a regional event for our church. And she brought up people to share their stories there. I've never been to her workshop, but I saw the end result. And it's a wonderful way of people connecting. And we all need to do that, especially at this time. We're so divided.
Yeah.
And being able to find ways that we can come together is a wonderful thing. So I'm hoping this starts something in Quincy, because major cities, this is happening, you know, all over.
Sure. I mean, it sounds almost like one of the TED Talks or the, what do they call it, the Moth?
The Moth, exactly.
The Moth.
And Rebecca speaks at the Moth, shares her stories there on a regular basis.
So if you've ever heard either of those programs, especially the Moth, this would be a great time to find out more how you can do your own. And I've heard some of those stories. Just that is a great story, but probably at the time the person thought that it's, you know, it happened. But
so this is a way to get the pointers on how to craft that story into something that people really remember.
All right. So this first time, is there any, you need reservations or anything? Just come.
Yes.
You want reservations.
You can call the church, 222-0812, or you can go online to our fccquincy.org storytelling, and you can register online either way, or on our Facebook page.
Okay.
They all have avenues to register. You can come if you didn't register.
Right.
We won't turn anyone away, but it would be helpful if you did register so we have an idea of how many
coming. And be ready to start programming. And then will they be making appointments then for Friday?
Yes.
All right. Reverend Keila Newman, we thank you very much. Give me that website one more time.
The website is fccquincy.org/storytelling.
/storytelling. Thank you so much. Talk Radio 930 WTAD with Jim Dewey in for Mary Griffith on The Mary Griffith Show, and happily so, because it was 2 years ago, almost to the day. All right, try that again. 2 years ago, almost to the day, that I last spoke with John Wingate, a Hannibal and Quincy native who wrote the book on the 50th anniversary of the Lost Boys of Hannibal, three boys who disappeared and we're never heard from again. Good morning, John. I'm doing well. Yourself? Good. And now you've written, I won't call it a sequel, but almost a follow-up to that book. And I wondered if maybe you could give us a little bit of the background. You dropped a hint in the first book, you had a chapter devoted, several chapters devoted to different possible scenarios that people mentioned or that might have come up as to what happened to those three boys. One of them was the possibility that John Wayne Gacy, who many of us are familiar with, had been in the area, and maybe he took them, and that's where this book goes. So if you can kind of explain how that came about.
A most astonishing paranormal investigation into the fate of the three boys, Joel and Billy Hoag and Craig Dowell, who have long been believed to have been lost in the vast caves underneath Hannibal, Missouri. And last year, in nearly a year-long investigation involving three evidential psychics, this trio identified the boys as the earliest victims of serial killer John Wayne Gacy. Now, as we all know, Gacy was the madman who was living in Chicago in the 1970s, and he was convicted and put to death for the murders of 33 young men and boys, most of whom were killed and then buried under his suburban Chicago home. So this all began at my book signing for Lost Boys of Hannibal at the Mark Twain Museum on June 30th of 2018. And unknown to me at the time, there's one of these psychics was in the audience. And I later find out that while I was speaking, she saw what she described as the energetic forms, if you will, or spirit of the three boys, and that they were wanting to be put to rest. I find out about this a couple of weeks after my book signing event, and when I first heard it, I recalled there was a woman in the second row at my book signing who was very tearful, and her cheeks were flushed, and at the time I thought it odd because she was only in her 20s, and I knew she was too young to have personally experienced the Lost Boys saga and that sort of thing. So I ended up talking to her, and her name is Kat Hunt. She lives in southern Missouri. And she laid out this scenario that really demanded further investigation. Now, I've always been leery of psychics and kind of the paranormal. I mean, we know the other realm exists. The Bible's very clear about that, and it is a place of different types of spirits, including demons and fallen angels, as detailed in the Bible. So as I saw this story unfolding in a very bizarre way, I was led to two of the Hoag sisters, who told me that they had been in contact with two other psychics, one in Hannibal and one in rural Wyoming. And both of these women clearly saw John Wayne Gacy as the killer of the three boys of Hannibal. So when I interviewed them individually, and I should say none of them knew about my book, Lost Boys of Hannibal. None of them had read it. These three women are essentially strangers. Southern Missouri psychic and the one in Wyoming are distantly, indirectly related because their husbands are distantly related, and they had met once at a wedding, as I recall. But the psychic in Southern Missouri didn't feel she was really qualified to look at this more deeply because she was just kind of coming into her skills and preparing to take some courses on becoming a certified medium. And she referred me to the psychic in Wyoming, Mary Riley. And Mary really laid this scenario out when she, quote-unquote, channeled this on July 13th of 2018. And what she saw was John Gacy being in Hannibal beginning on May 8th, May 9th, and on May 10th offered the boys a ride home. They were at the road cut location where Highway 79 was being extended, and my previous book detailed how they were last seen at that location at 5:15 p.m. on May 10th, 1967. Well, according to Riley, Gacy offered them a ride home, and it was during this trip home when Gacy took a wrong turn or a different turn to go out of town that the boys knew something had gone terribly wrong, and they began to panic. Gacy pulls over, clubs two of them and puts them in the trunk, uses some sort of agent, chloroform perhaps, to render Craig Dowell unconscious, and then proceeds south to a point about 2 miles south of the road cut location where the highway construction was underway, pulls off into the trees, and that is where she said he killed them one at a time, tortured them first, suffocated them, and buried them in a grave that had been previously dug. So this was very well thought out. My mind was spinning when I heard this. Meanwhile, the other psychic who lives in Hannibal had detailed a similar story in a reading with one of the Hoag sisters in May of 2018. And at the time, she connected, so to speak, with the boys who she said were yelling in unison or saying in unison, John Wayne Gacy, John Wayne Gacy, John Wayne Gacy. And it kind of blew her away, so to speak. And at the same time, she tapped into Gacy, and she said she felt a very unsettling, kind of a sickening feeling in her stomach because of his evil. And she said that he acknowledged that, "I killed them, but you'll never find them." So here I was, the skeptic initially, and the more I looked into this, the more compelling it became. And I realized that while I was reluctant to promote the paranormal realm, it really, because of the enormity of the story, it really demanded to be told in a very thorough and kind of journalistic and precise way. And so that led me to the next step, which was to bring these three women to town and on individual dates during the summer and early fall of, well, actually summer and late summer of 2018. I drove each of them individually around northeast Missouri, and without exception, they all felt strong senses at the identical locations. They all three identified that Gacy had taken the boys out of town via River Road, which is the narrow, secluded road that goes south beneath the Lover's Leap cut off. So it basically parallels the river south.
Right.
And in 1967, that road went all the way down to Saverton. So Highway 79 was closed on the other side of Lover's Leap because of the road construction. So when Gacy makes a turn south, the boys start getting nervous and saying, "You turn the wrong way, you turn the wrong way." And he says, "Well, I know a shortcut." And then from there, it just got proceeded to become worse and worse.
Right.
So without exception, all three of these women identified the same scenario going south.
Yeah, and in fact, they took you. I mean, you were driving, but they guided you. They said, turn here, and you ended up in the same location all three times.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just silent. I was the driver, and I had my tape recorder going to document all of this verbatim. And without exception, they all three said, "I need to go that way," and they all pointed south. Well, we took River Road, and it's now blocked off, so we doubled back and went down Highway 79, which, of course, is now open. And all three of them, when we approached the Continental Cement plant a couple of miles south of the southern border of Hannibal, they both cranked their heads to the right and said, "I need to go there," and they pointed into the woods. So I pull off into the cement plant entrance and then cut over to a gravel road that curves around back through a meadow towards these woods. And with all three women, we ended up in the same location all three times. And out of more than 400 square miles of northeast Missouri, I found that pretty astonishing.
Yeah. You do recognize in the book, too, the pushback that you expect from Christians and others over the use of psychics, and you include a lot of biblical references and mention the fact that all three of these women, when they go to work in their psychic realm, they start with prayer.
Yeah, they all claim to be committed Christians, and I'm a faithful Christian. So, you know, thus my reluctance to even get into this initially. But when I did decide to do the book, I was certain that I had to write it through the lens of Christian worldview. So I made a point of going into considerable detail in the book about what the Bible says and the dangers of the quote-unquote New Age, you know, where people try to make themselves gods and the dangers of that. And the reason I did that is the other realm is very dangerous because it's really beyond our capacity as humans to fully discern the truth of what might be experienced in the other realm. Because initially with this story, I thought, well, is this either a God thing? Is this a work of God that's going to produce a good fruit and we're going to find these boys and finally bring complete closure? Or is it the work of trickster spirits? And I spoke with some theologians who detailed that, you know, the demons who manifested in John Wayne Gacy, and he was clearly possessed, were there when these boys were killed. And these demonic spirits know all the details, and they could be very convincing as representing themselves as another source from the other side. I mean, the Bible itself says that Satan can manifest himself as a being of light. So, you know, the jury is still out on this. I'm still not convinced the truthfulness of this, whether or not it was a work of God or the work of trickster spirits, and that's why it's so important for, I think, for law enforcement to at least do an initial investigation with ground-penetrating radar or a limited dig, because these psychics, and especially Mary Riley from Wyoming, she identified the precise location. I mean, we stood in the woods south of Hannibal, and she said, you're not going to have to look for 2 miles around this area to find them. They're right here. And she pointed to the ground.
And she also was interviewed by local authorities. They took her in a separate room. You don't have any idea what they talked about, but she convinced them, I guess by looking at another case, that she knew what she was doing and that she wasn't a hoax.
Yeah, the day that we drove northeast Missouri, and this was September 8th of 2018, later that day, I left her and the Hogue sister who lives in Hannibal and went on my way. And later that day, Mary put in contact with a Rawls County Sheriff's deputy that one of the Hogue sisters knows. And he came over and interviewed her, and he was, you know, pretty wide-eyed and by the story that she unfolded. And she told about the book and our tour of northeast Missouri. And so he brought her to the station to make a statement. And they were leery of her, of course. And to test her, she claims that they gave her some information about a homicide case or a murder case. And what she told them, according to her, made them believers. And she continued to, she had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, so she can't detail what they talked about, but they were believers. So as part of my book research, I contacted both the Rawls County Sheriff and the Hannibal Police Department leadership, and none of them would talk about this with me. They avoided all phone calls, all emails, and I finally did get the deputy chief, who has since retired, on the telephone one day and laid this out, and he was pretty blown away by it, and said, well, if we did do anything, we would probably call in the State Patrol or the FBI, because we'd have to make sure there was a chain of evidence if any evidence was found, such as remains or a weapon or whatever.
Right.
So,
and they have the equipment to do it.
Right, and the expertise and the track record. So he promised to get back to me in 2 days and have the police chief talk to me, and that never happened. So the way I left it in the book is that I've provided this information to both Hannibal PD and Rawls County, and I've given them the precise GPS coordinates where this location is. And it's 2.2 miles south of Highway 79 and Fulton Avenue.
Okay. One of the other things that to me, lends a lot of credibility to the story is that the family is involved. Sisters of two of the missing boys were involved. In fact, they brought the story to you.
That's right. I mean, you know, they've suffered with this trauma their entire lives, so it's kind of a bittersweet thing for them. On one hand, they still struggle with the pain, and on the other hand, they want some resolution to the case because they want their boys put to rest, so to speak. So they were the ones that brought this to me. I mean, on Mary Riley had channeled this on Friday the 13th, July 13th, last summer, or a year ago, this past summer. And on Sunday night, July 15th, which happened to be my birthday, I got a call from Lenny Hoag, the oldest sister of the Hoag boys, and she said, it was a late night text, actually, and she said, call me in the morning. Call me, something important. So the first thing I did in the morning was call Lenny, who lives in the Southwest, and her first words out of her mouth were, John, Gacy did it. Gacy killed the boys, and that launched me on this odyssey. Now, part of the work involved trying to place John Wayne Gacy in Hannibal, Missouri at the time.
Right.
And Gacy had grown up in Chicago, had attended a business school, and then moved to Springfield, Illinois in the early 60s, where he worked for a clothing and shoe store. From there, in 66, he moved to Waterloo, Iowa, and was helping his father-in-law manage three Kentucky Fried Chicken franchises. And while there, Gacy got into trouble luring his teenage male employees into his basement for parties at night and trying to seduce them. And when they would get resistant, he would laugh it off as a joke. But he did end up being convicted of sodomy and spent some time in jail. Now, what I determined was that while Gacy was in Waterloo, I tried to figure out why would he be in Hannibal, Missouri. And I found out through a series of FBI documents that I obtained that his father-in-law had told the FBI that he was traveling during the period when the boys went missing and probably would have been going to Little Rock, where his mother and younger sister were living at the time. Well, I started looking at this and figuring in Waterloo, the route would take him down Highway 61, which goes right through Hannibal. Now, the psychics had said Gacy had been at the site for two separate days before they went missing. In my first book, I detailed the sighting of what officials back in 1967 called a mystery man. And he had been standing high up on the road cut, observing the road construction activity down on the roadbed of Highway 79. And they had approached him and asked, you know, what are you doing? This is kind of an odd place to be standing. And he told them, oh, I'm just watching the road construction. Well, my first book detailed that this mystery man had been seen first on May 8th and then May 9th. And then after the boys went missing, he wasn't seen again. So what the psychic saw perfectly overlaid the established facts in the case. So what I started looking at is why would he be in Hannibal? Well, he loved his mother dearly. He adored her, and he never missed spending a Mother's Day with her. So I believe that Mother's Day was on May 14th that year, and he, I believe, was going down to Little Rock, and about an 11-hour drive from Waterloo, and he hit Hannibal, wanted to take the scenic route, so headed to Highway 79, but was stopped by the road construction. Now, at the time, there were tons of baby boomer kids on Hannibal's south side because that's where I grew up. And there are lots of young boys running around on bikes and with their baseball mitts and such. I believe perhaps that Gacy saw all the boys and all of a sudden this dark, you know, demand welled up within him and he decided to spend a few days. And at some point between May 8th and May 9th, he befriended the three boys and became familiar enough with them that they trusted him for a ride later. And that was always the M.O. that John Gacy used, that he would befriend a boy, win his trust and confidence, and then make his move later.
All right. Well, we are, unfortunately, just about out of time. John Wingate, author of Souls Speak, Missing Children Reveal Their Serial Killer from Beyond. Lots more to this book. You dig into Gacy's background and lots of psychology and other things. It's a really great read. And where could people find it?
Jim, Quincy Books has it. Some shops in Hannibal carry it. And, of course, any bookstore can order it. And then it's available on Amazon.com as well.
All right. So, again, John Wingate, your first book was The Lost Boys of Hannibal. And I would recommend, if you haven't read that, that you read that first, but then pick up this second book. It's very convincing for a number of reasons, as I mentioned. John Wingate, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Jim. I appreciate it.